Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show.
Why don't we go to the scoreboard first? Chicago Bears, 24. Seattle Seahawks, 17. John Gruden, nothing. Yes, John Gruden, better get used to hearing his name associated with the Chicago Bears, because that's just how it's going to be all year long. Maybe not just this year, maybe for years to come. The Raiders are 0-2. John Gruden is 0-4, because every great game that Khalil Mack has is another L for Gruden. Gruden is going to get so much Twitter run during Bears games, you're going to think that he's the coach of the Bears, but he's not. He's just in the business of giving the Bears all-world talent, which is what he did and was on display in prime time, nationally televised for the second straight week. And for the second straight week, Khalil Mack showed up like a freak.
17 on the play clock. The snap is back. Big push by Roy Robb again. Pocket starts to close. Wilson Football. In trouble. Ball comes out at the 40-yard line. They get to him again.
Khalil Mack stripped it as Russell Wilson was going to try to throw it. But first he hit the tight end. Then he rushed against the tackle. And then again, he came all the way around the edge to strip the ball out of the hands.
Credit Bears Radio. I mean, Seattle tried to stop him. Seattle did everything they could to stop him. Chip him with a tight end, have the tackle way deep, double team him as he gets closer to the quarterback. It's still not enough. Nothing they tried worked. Another strip sack. And it was part of a monstrous performance from the Bears defense overall. The Bears defense beat the living crap out of Russell Wilson. Look, everybody knew that Seattle's offensive line versus Chicago's pass rush was going to be a major mismatch. But that was savage. Wilson was sacked 6 times last night, and that's the second time in 2 games. Russell Wilson is strong as hell to take a beating like that, but even he is starting to show signs of the abuse that it's taking, the toll that it's taking, the abuse 2 games in, like when he threw whatever the hell kind of pass this was.
Wilson in the gun from his 46, shotgun snap, throws into the nickel, a pass, it's intercepted by Abu Kamara, down the sideline, 40, chase to the 30, down the sideline, 20, breaks a tackle, 15, down the sideline, 10, they run him to the 5, he's into the end zone, touchdown, Chicago, touchdown, Abu Kamara.
2 games in, and this guy's already shell-shocked. But again, last night's game was not about Seattle's offensive line or offensive philosophy or how quickly Seattle has gone from being a dominant force in the NFC to a team that's likely going to miss the playoffs back-to-back seasons, despite having a lot of talent still at key positions. No, last night was all about Khalil Mack, because he had his second sack of the season, which is the same number of sacks as, wait for it, a little longer, the Oakland Raiders have as a team. 2 games, 2 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, and a pick 6. Not bad. Not bad, and especially for a guy who admits he does not know the entire defense. His teammate, Akeem Hicks, told USA Today, quote, "He's so special that he doesn't even have to have the entire defense," end quote. Yep, Mack doesn't have the entire defense, but he has completely transformed the entire defense. Chicago looks scary now. Chicago looks like they've got a plan now. Chicago is playing inspired football for the first time in a long time. Ask Hicks. He said, quote, "I'm excited about it. It really makes you look and say, man, is there another spot I can reach to do what he does? He's something to take notice of," end quote. So what I'm saying is this. This guy walks in 2 weeks ago, and he turns the team around in a matter of days? That seems like the kind of thing that an 0-2 Raiders team could use right about now. A difference maker on defense. Someone who has inspired his defensive teammates to raise their own game. Nah, better to have a couple of draft picks in the coming years, at least according to Gruden. Because Gruden was asked yesterday if he had any regrets about that deal. And shocking, shocker of all shockers, Gruden says no, not at all.
No, it doesn't make me regret. Right. You know, we made the trade. You know, there's going to be hindsight, 50-50, all that stuff. But we would have loved to have him here. And I'm not going to keep rehashing this.
Hey, Chunk, hindsight is not 50-50. Hindsight is 20-20. And in this case, you didn't even need hindsight to know what you were giving up when you traded Khalil Mack. No need for glasses or contacts or laser surgery to know that that deal had a high boomerang potential and that you might wear that for the rest of your career. Again, there were ways to defend that trade, but Gruden never laid it out like that. Instead, he was ducking and diving, taking responsibility for the good parts, avoiding blame for the bad parts, and now he's complaining about a lack of a pass rush after every game so far. You want more salt for that wound, Raider fans. The Raiders are 31st in the NFL in sacks. The Bears lead the NFL in sacks. The Raiders' defense has one forced fumble, zero fumbles recovered, one interception, and no touchdowns. Khalil Mack has two forced fumbles, one fumble recovered, one INT, and one touchdown. Listen, I could spend the entire rest of the show teeing off on Chunk. I could play clip after clip of Gruden complaining about his own pass rush and then play highlights of Mack in a Bears uniform. I could point out that Oakland isn't just losing that trade right now. They're getting smashed. But I won't. I won't because at this point, it's like shooting fish in a barrel. At certain points, or at a certain point, it's going to be tired and tedious. It'll be like reminding the Portland Trailblazers that they passed on Mike Jordan. It's going to be played out. But that's only because Mack is balling and the Raiders aren't. The Raiders' mantra has always been commitment to excellence. I will save you the trouble, Raider Nation. Trading Khalil Mack, and I said it before, so this is not hindsight being 50-50, Chuck. Trading Khalil Mack was an absolute exercise, not an excellence, but an excrement. There, I said it for you, Raider fan. Know this, Chunk. It's going to stick to you for a long time. It's going to stick to you for a long time. And by a long time, I mean pretty much forever. Now you go ahead and you wait on those draft picks, Raider Nation. I don't need to. I don't need to see whether or not you might draft Khalil Mack. Because you already had Khalil Mack. And he wanted to be there for his whole career. He didn't want that trade. He didn't ask for that trade.
Hindsight, 50-50.
Yeah, hindsight's 50-50, all right. Von Miller is my guest. Von, good morning. Good to have you back. How are you?
Happy. Thank you guys for having me back again.
Von, always good to have you here. All right, so you beat the Raiders, Von, Sunday. You're 2-0 to start the year. So start off for me with this. How good does it feel to be Von Miller and the Denver Broncos right now?
I mean, it's great to be a part of the Denver Broncos, and it's great to get started off 2-0, you know, especially in a league where it's so hard to win. And I'm going to start off 2-0 is great.
All right, so you're 2-0. And Vaughn, you had a huge game in week one. You had three sacks. You had a couple of forced fumbles. You had a fumble recovery. Knowing you, Vaughn, I know you're going to give a lot of credit to your teammates because that's the kind of teammate that you are. But when you're having a game like that, what's it feel like when you're in the middle of it? Do you feel like you're in a zone where you simply cannot be blocked?
I mean, you just want to keep going. You just want to keep going. You know, sacks, you know, they come and go. So, if you get in sacks, you, especially in a game early, you know, you want to keep it going. You want to get as many as possible.
Denver Bronco, Von Miller, my guest. All right, so I had your teammate Case Keenum on the show recently, and we talked a little bit about the fact that he was not unhappy to see Khalil Mack get traded out of the division. I'm kind of curious, from where you're standing or sitting, what was your reaction when you saw that trade go down?
I mean, it was crazy. I didn't think it was real. I thought it was fake news for a little bit. When you turn the TV and you go to the verified social media sites and you see it's real, I just thought it was crazy. You know, guys like that, you think that, you know, they're untradeable, but it definitely, you know, worked out for the best for Khalil.
You think guys like that are untradeable? I mean, that's a really interesting point. For instance, we all know quarterbacks, Vaughn, get paid. We know that. We know even non-elite quarterbacks are getting paid. As an elite defensive player, do you feel like elite defensive players get the respect and the money that they deserve?
Yeah, I think so. I think everything is fair. I mean, if you look at the guys, and you look at the contracts, I think everything is fair.
We're talking to Von Miller. All right, Von, you and I have talked in the past about some of the rule changes that have been brought about with the idea of making the game safer. When you see Clay Matthews, as an example, get flagged for his hit on Kirk Cousins, what's your reaction? What did you think about that?
Man, it's tough. It's tough. I mean, like you said before, you know, it's just rule changes in place to, you know, make the game safer for everybody, and especially the quarterbacks. You know, the game goes as the quarterback goes, you know, and, you know, it's about the quarterbacks, about the great quarterbacks, you know, like Tom Brady's and Aaron Rodgers, the Drew Breeses. You know, the Case Keenums. It's about those guys. And if, you know, if they're hurt, you know, they can't go out there and, you know, do what they need to do to, you know, make the sport what it is. So I totally understand, and, you know, and the Clay Matthews, you know, situation, it's a tough call. It's a tough call on both sides, you know. But for me, what, you know, it helps, because I just go for the ball. I go for the ball at all times. And let me tell you, I got some of the worst, you know, roughing the passer calls. And this is before, you know, the new rule change. So I totally understand, you know, what it means to protect the quarterback. But, you know, it's a tough call on both sides.
I got to tell you now, I've been sleeping on my Casper mattress for a while, and I would pick it over every single mattress I have ever had. It really does help me get the very best night of sleep, period. Once you try Casper, you're going to love yours as much as I love mine. Switching to Casper is a no-brainer. It's a high-quality mattress at an affordable price. I'm sleeping cool and comfortably every single night thanks to the unique combination of foams that provide the right pressure relief and alignment. And Casper... and Casper ships right to your door for free in a small, how did they do that, size box. They'll even pick it up if you don't love it, and they'll refund you everything. From its engineering to its packaging to letting you try it for 100 nights, it is no wonder that Casper has over 35,000 five-star reviews of all their products across Casper, Google, and Amazon. Sleeping on a mattress is the best way to try one. Put Casper to the test in your own home for 100 nights risk-free. Go to casper.com/Rome50. Use the code Rome50 and get $50 towards the purchase of select mattresses. Again, casper.com/Rome50. Use the code Rome50 and get $50 off towards the purchase of select mattresses. Casper.com. Terms and conditions do apply. Talking to Von Miller, so how do you approach it? I mean, as a linebacker who is getting the quarterback on a regular basis, do you have to change, you personally, have you changed the way you bring down the quarterback so you don't risk getting a flag?
Yeah, I just go for the ball. I go for the ball 100% of the time. And, you know, it's ball first, tackle second. And, you know, whenever, I guess for me especially, whenever I'm playing like that, you know, it really takes some of the, you know, some of the big hits off of the quarterback and onto the ball. And, you know, the sack force fumble is one of the biggest plays in football. So whenever I got the opportunity, that's what I'm trying to do.
We're talking to Bronco Von Miller. You know, Von, watching you guys from the outside, it looks like you're having a lot of fun. For instance, you gave your teammate Shaq Barrett a joking slap in a postgame interview on Sunday, and then Shaq said at that time, that will not go unpunished. And then after that, did you know that he was going to come back to get you? And then what was your reaction when he got you in return?
No, I didn't know. You know, I prank a lot of guys, and you know, they never get me back. So I guess I was due some revenge, and it's all good. That's just the type of locker room that we have. We got a lot of, you know, cool guys in there. The culture is great in there, and it's all fun, especially when you're winning. It's all fun.
Everything's great when you're winning. The chemistry looks great, though. I mean, what comes first? What comes first? Good chemistry or the wins? Or do you only have good chemistry when you win?
I think the wins are the most important thing in football. You know, you can have, you know, a horrible locker room, a win, and that'll make the locker room great. So, you know, but for us, you know, that's not the case. We got a great locker room from, you know, the first man on the roster to, you know, the 53rd man on the roster to all the coaches and everybody in between. It's a great locker room, a great organization.
We're talking to Von Miller for a few more moments, and we'll get to Old Spice for sure. Von, after the season opening win, you were making the point that there just felt like there was something special about this team. You've been on some really good teams. What have you seen that makes you feel that this team might be one of those special teams?
You know, it's I've been on a lot of special teams, but, you know, this one is different. I think you know, the young guys that we got this year, we did a great job in the draft and, you know, picking up young guys, young talented guys, and they were able to, you know, come in and help us right away, from, you know, Phillip Lindsay to Bradley Chubb to, you know, to Jeff Holland on practice squad. All these guys that have came in to help us, they've definitely given us a boost.
Right now, over the summer, there was this really cool video of you listening to Bruce Smith talk about his philosophy when it comes to getting to the quarterback. What was your biggest takeaway from your time with him?
Yeah, you know, being able to, you know, spend some time with Bruce, it was great for the Pass Rush Summit that we have annually at the Big Cedar Lodge and in the Ozark Mountains. It was great. You know, whenever you can get pros around and you can talk, you know, football, you know, the past, present, you know, and the future pros, it's great. Especially when they're talking about pass rush and, you know, some of the stuff that we all do well.
Dude, a Pass Rush Summit in the Ozark Mountains, that sounds like a blast, actually.
Yeah, it is. It is. And we got some great sponsors from, you know, Bass Pro Shops to Carhartt to, you know, to everybody involved. So it's a great event, you know, that we have annually with all the best pass rushers around the league.
All right, so you're working with Old Spice and the new Old Spice Foamer Body Wash, but it's more than just talking about a body wash. You've got something much bigger cooking with the Foam Zone Obstacle Course. Vaughn, what exactly is that all about?
Oh, yeah, the Foam Zone Obstacle Course, it's a football-themed obstacle course, game show covered in foam, Old Spice Foamer. And the new Old Spice Foamer product is an instant lathering body wash. It's great in the shower. You know, my favorite is Fiji. And back to the Foam Zone, you can catch it today on, you know, on all the Old Spice media, social media pages, YouTube as well, from 5 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern.
All right, so check that out on their platform. I like that. Good cause. Hey, Vaughn, one last thing. A few months ago, I saw you receive the President's Award from the American Optometric Association for the work you've done with your Vaughn's Vision program. What did the award mean to you, and why is that such an important cause to you?
I mean, it's a great award. You know, but when we started off, you know, I wasn't expecting, you know, any awards. When we started Vaughn's Vision, we was just trying to, you know, help, you know, one or two kids, you know, get glasses, contacts, free LASIK surgery, and eye exams, and to do some of the stuff that we've done with Vaughn's Vision. It's been great. It's been a true blessing. And to receive awards like that just shows you the type of team that I have around me, and it's been a true blessing.
So Corey Dillon, Randy Moss, get ready to hear those two names a lot. You're not going to be able to hear a single Josh Gordon is a Patriot story without hearing about either or both of those names. So why don't we start right here? Josh Gordon is a New England Patriot today. And if you're surprised by that, you shouldn't be. Not because the rumors started to come out yesterday, but because this is how this was always going to go. The Patriots were always going to get him. They were going to take a chance on him. This is what they do. And they got him for a fifth-round pick. Not bad. Even better, they get a seventh-round pick in return if he's not active for 10 games. In other words, it's a no-risk move. There literally is no downside at all. And again, it's the least surprising move ever. From the moment the Browns made it clear that they were moving on from Josh Gordon, the most predictable outcome was Gordon being in a patch uniform. Especially when you look at New England's past and their game on Sunday. Jacksonville just sat on their wideouts. The offense could not move the ball because they can barely move on the field. And this, by the way, is not a luxury move for the Patriots. This isn't a case of the rich getting richer. This is not the Golden State Warriors adding DeMarcus Cousins. The Patriots are adding Josh Gordon because they need this guy. And because they have mismanaged their roster. And the fact that they're jumping on somebody who the Cleveland Browns are giving up on. That tells you all you need to know about how badly they need this guy. New England needs this to work, not because they gave up a lot, because they barely gave up anything at all. They need it to work because they need their offense to work. They never replaced Brandon Cooks. They never replaced Deion Lewis. They don't have any speed. They're slow as hell. They can't take the top off of defense. Now, Josh Gordon, he can do all those things. So, it's a stone-cold lock, right? Get him to New England, put him with TB12 and the hoodie, and he'll be right back on track for that yellow blazer, right? Yeah, let's not get into that just yet. Which brings me back to Corey Dillon and Randy Moss, the two names that you hear every single time the Patriots make a move like this. You know, we probably should stop with that too. First off, Corey Dillon joined the Patriots in 04. Josh Gordon was 13 then. A lot has changed in the NFL, in the world, and with the Pats since 2004. And Randy Moss. You mean Randy Gene Moss. I know the temptation is to bring him up when you talk about Josh Gordon because they both have amazing talent. And they came on a bargain because their previous team had given up on them. Yeah, well, they also both have two hands and two feet. But that might be all they have in common at this point. Because Randy Moss may very well be the greatest receiver in nearly 100 years of the NFL. Josh Gordon was the best receiver in the league for 1 year. And since then, he's been in and out. Randy Moss had 10 1,000-yard seasons. Josh Gordon has had one in 2013. He hasn't had 1,000 combined yards since then. So Josh Gordon is not Randy Moss. Randy Moss is a Hall of Famer. Randy Moss may have had issues in his previous stops, but they were not the issues that Josh Gordon has had. not the issues that Josh Gordon still has. Moss is not the guy that you should be comparing Gordon to. But if you need a few names, I've got them for you. How about Chad Ochocinco, Kenny Brett, Michael Floyd? These are all receivers who were brought in when other teams did not want them, and it didn't work out for any of them. Philip Dorsett, Corey Coleman, who was released yesterday. That list goes on. So, yeah, the Patriots with Brady and Moss were totally unfair, and the Patriots with Brady and Gordon might also be unfair. But we're not there yet. This is not a lock. This is not a guarantee. The only lock to me was that the Patriots would make this move, but it's not guaranteed to work out. It's not. We'll see. Devon Godshaw is my guest. Devon, it's great to have you on the program. How are you?
I'm doing great, boss. How you doing?
Man, I'm doing great. It's really nice to have you on the show. Let me start here. You're coming off a big game against the Jets where you had six tackles. You were part of a dominating performance by the defense. So how happy were you overall with what the defense was able to do on Sunday?
I'm very happy, you know, but there's always room for improvement. You know, each and every day, you know, we get in there, you know, film study, listen to the coaches, and there's always room to get better. You know, you never want to get complacent in this league because it's a long season.
All right, so you did a lot in your rookie season, but how different is it right now for you in your second season now that you've got that 1 year under your belt? Do you feel like you've got a better sense of what to expect week in and week out?
Oh, yes, sir. You know, each and every week, you know, learning more film, you know, watching, getting more tendencies on the offensive linemen, you know, guys we're going against. So I feel like the second year is really a big jump to, on how your career is going to end up.
Now, when you mention film work, there are so many different aspects to your game that the coaches love to talk about, but one of the things that keeps coming up over and over again is the way you study the game, the way you were reviewing film with the Dolphins even before the draft, and that you were telling them details of every single play before the play actually appeared on the screen. So where did that attitude and that approach to film study come from?
Just, you know, learning from LSU, you know, Coach O, Coach Pete Jenkins, I mean, just, you know, two old school coaches. I mean, just learning just details, you know, film study, learning the pass protection, you know, which way the centers like to turn. I mean, just things like that, man. I mean, just learning each and every, just studying your opponent each and every day.
Devon Godshaw joining us on the show. All right, so you mentioned LSU. You're a proud member of that LSU family. And when you look at them, how did you feel about the way they handled business against Miami in the season opener, and how do they look to you right now?
Oh, they look good. You know, defense always look great. You know, I'm very happy at the quarterback position. You know, quarterback looks very good. You know, he's managing the game, you know, very good for LSU. And I know the defense is going to always step up and play big. So, you know, long as LSU always have that defense, you know, the Tigers always got a chance.
So go back to last year. Your first year, you played 15 games, but not only did you play 15 games, head coach Adam Gase named you the team captain against the Patriots. As he said, quote, "I don't know how many times you've seen a rookie be a captain for a game," end quote. So looking back on that, at that time, what did that honor mean to you?
I mean, that speaks high about head coach, you know, Adam Gase. You know, I think, you know, everybody in the locker room likes him. He's a player's coach. You know, all the players love him. I mean, so that speaks high of him, and it speaks high of me, of what he think about me. So, I mean, I'm very fortunate to be a captain as a rookie. You know, a great Dolphins organization, you know, not just on the football field, you know, really off the field, and the Dolphins does so much to help their players, you know, life after football. So I'm very proud to be in this organization.
I know, dude, that says a lot about you. That says a lot about you. And not only that, you were a captain for that game, then you go out and you had five tackles in that game. So what did it mean to you to be named team captain and then come through the way you did in that game?
I mean, it's big. I mean, in the NFL, I mean, either you're producing or you're getting worse, you know, so each and every week, you know, you want to, you know, even though I had six tackles, you know, last week against the Jets, you know, that week is over, you know, and I was on the Oakland, you know, I can't keep dwelling off that Jets game, because if I do, you know, I might wind up having a bad game against Oakland, so it's on to the next game, which is the Oakland Raiders.
All right, so you made it pretty clear, you're looking ahead and not looking back, but one more thought about last season, you were playing along with Ndamukong Suh. I'm curious, what was he like to play with, and what did you learn from him?
He was a great guy, man. He was a great guy to play with, you know, on and off the field, you know, just learning things from him. I mean, the dominance he had in Detroit, you know, in Miami, you know, so it was big playing against him, picking his brain, you know, picking things, you know, just things like that, man. I mean, the guy, I mean, speaks for itself, was the highest paid defensive lineman at one time in the league, so it speaks for itself. So just learning from him and just playing him, picking his brain each and every day, you know, learning from him.
All right, so when he left, did you get the sense that all of a sudden all eyes were turned to you? And then if that was the case, if he's no longer there, how do you approach it with him gone and the challenge of playing big on the defensive line without having that guy there too?
I mean, it's all of us, you know. It's not just me, you know. It's all of us, you know, me, Jordan Phillips, Hakeem Spence, you know, Vincent Taylor, you know, all those D-tackles, you know, in that room Of course, we have great ends on the edge. You know, Cameron Wake, Robert Quinn, William Hayes, Andre Branch. You know, first round pick Charles Harris. So we have a lot of. So we have a room full of great guys. So, you know, it's not just me. You know, we just want to kind of gel together and be brothers together and be one as a team, you know, each and every day and do something special this year.
Miami Dolphin Devon Godshaw is my guest. Now, during Sunday's game, Frank Gore moved into fourth on the all-time rushing list.
So happy.
Yeah,
so
man.
Happy.
He got the game ball afterwards. I'm glad you feel that way. This is a big Frank Gore house. I love the guy. Devon, what's it like to play with him, and why were you so happy for him?
You know, man, Frank, on the same, you know, that's also great too, you know. So Frank being the fourth rushing all time, man, that's it. Just, you know, playing with guys like Frank Gore, you know, who's fourth rushing all time, guys like, you know, Cam Wake, you know, soon to be Hall of Famer, you know, so just playing with two guys like that. I mean, just playing with all those guys, Rashad Jones, and I can name the list goes on and on, you know, but just playing with guys like that, man, it's just an honor to play, you know, because one day you can be done with the game. You're going to be done with the game and tell your kids that you really got to play with those guys, you know. And so that's just amazing playing with guys like Frank Gore.
Well, I mean, you're only in your second season, but I get the sense that you know the level of commitment and work that it takes to stay in that league and perform at a high level.
Sir.
When you see Frank Gore doing what he's doing and how long he's done it, what kind of thoughts do you have?
Man, I trained with Frank in the offseason, and, man, Frank is a go-getter. And, man, Frank was going at it every day, talking about LSU versus Miami games, because he went to Miami and I went to LSU. So, I mean, just training with him each and every day, and we pushing each other. And 14-year vet, 15-year vet, come out there and just shows out. You know, he's just, man, he's amazing, man. And all props to him, all congrats to him of being a, you know, fourth leading rusher all time in NFL. You know, that's just big time.
It's great to hear you talk about him like that. Now, you faced a lot of challenges growing up and some really tough situations. Mm-hmm. What was it that kept you focused and motivated when there were so many things that could have sent you in a different direction?
Adversity. Just, you know, looking where I come from, coming from being growing up in the hood, you know, a lot of things didn't go my way, you know, coming up. But just look where I come from, just my mom, just things like that, man. Just always, you know, just never get complacent, you know, never get satisfied with anything in life. Always work towards, you know, having a chip on my shoulder, being drafted in the fifth round. So, you know, just all those things just pushed me in life, man. And I could never just thank God more than enough, you know, for the things that he have done for me in my life.
You know, and then finally, you've got that incredible tradition at LSU. So growing up in Louisiana, what did it mean to you to play for the Tigers?
I always tell guys in the locker room, if you can, I can turn my back to you right now, and you can ask any guy in the locker room who probably has the most cool spirit, and they're probably going to say, gotcha. If you say anything about LSU, then it's probably going to be an argument. But just growing up in Louisiana, you know, just playing for LSU, I mean, it was a dream come true, playing for the Tigers, knowing their history with all the players they have in the NFL, Patrick Peterson, I mean, the list goes on and on, you know, a lot of guys in the NFL, just playing at LSU, this is a dream come true, put my legacy at LSU, then finish it off, you know, in the NFL, you know.
Man, there is some amazing talent in the NFL right now that's coming out of LSU. So finally, what do you think about Coach O and the job he's doing there right now?
I love Coach O. That's my guy. I just talked to him this morning. You know, talked to him about some things on the film that happened against the Jets. You know, I kind of go over my film with him. You know, and he kind of, you know, I kind of tell him, you know, tell the D-line at LSU, you know, keep going, keep pushing. You know, even though everybody doubted him, but keep pushing. But each and every day, you know, Coach O, man, that's my guy. You know, came to LSU my sophomore year, was my D-line coach my sophomore junior year. It was just amazing just to have him, man. The intense, you know, just the swagger, just the fire he brings, you know, to the table, you know, each and every game, man. I still miss that. That's why I think me and Coach Chris is pretty close, because he reminds me of a Coach O.
There are things that I do not want to talk about that I have to talk about that are part of the job. Mario Kart is not one of those things. Urban Meyer is one of those things. And the reason I don't want to talk about this guy is I don't want to see this guy. I don't want to hear from this guy. I don't want to talk about this guy. Because when I look at this guy now, I see garbage. Garbage. He's coming back to coach football. So he must have gotten into his head that it'd be a really good idea to try and rehab his image. So he does a sit-down interview with Tom Rinaldi. He does a press conference yesterday. And both those things went about as well as you could possibly imagine. Now, I could do a line-by-line breakdown of what he has said recently. I could get into the weeds about what he claims he didn't know. When there's evidence to the contrary, but why would I bother? Why waste my time? This guy's a liar. We know it. He lies. He lies. That's what he does. He lies, and then he calls them, quote, misstatements. You know, like the repeated denials of the 2015 incident at Big Ten Media Days. And then he blames those, quote, misstatements on not being prepared for the questions. And this gem, quote, I didn't listen closely to the questions, end quote. And then when all else fails, he blames his lies, memory issues on medication that he's taking. I mean, amazing, right? He blames his lies on medication. He calls his lies misstatements. He says he wasn't listening carefully to the questions. So no, I'm not going to bother getting into his lame-ass claim that he never deleted text messages from his phone. And that the only reason why those text messages weren't on his phone is because his phone, quote, started to lock up throughout the spring. The IT person would take my phone, and whatever he did to increase the storage capacity. And I found out several months ago, I think late spring is when I was told, is that he changed my setting to 1 year, end quote. I mean, have you ever heard a bigger load of crap than that? I mean, are you kidding me with that? And in case you were wondering, the storage issue with his phone was because he has, quote, hundreds of videos of my grandson and other family videos, end quote. Uh-huh. So when the school's own investigation reported that you had a conversation with a staff member about messages on your phone on August 1st, that was made up. According to Urban, it was, but not according to the school. And I'm not going to get into his repeated claims that in all of his dealings with Zach Smith, he was just trying to help Zach Smith. That he was trying to do a good thing and not cover up a bad thing. And that tells you everything you need to know about Urban Meyer and about what he thinks about this whole thing. Urban Meyer thinks the program or the problem in this whole situation was that Urban Meyer was trying to be too good of a guy. The problem was not that he was covering up for a piece of crap on his staff. The problem was Urban was trying to be a saint. And that's all you need to know. That after being suspended for 3 games, after repeated attempts at press conferences and interviews and Twitter statements, Urban Meyer thinks that he's the victim. Herb still thinks that he's the victim. Herb still thinks that he's the good guy. And the only person who could possibly believe that at this point is Urban Meyer. This guy's a liar. He's flat out lied. The only thing that this attempted rehab tour has proven is that he is a liar and he still has no idea what time it is. I mean, this guy's garbage. And this attempt to rehab his image is ridiculous. It's insulting. And nobody should believe anything that this guy says. You shouldn't believe that Twitter statement that included this. I sincerely regret my misstatement at Media Days. And my failure to adequately manage a troubled employee. It caused people to question my commitment to our core value of treating women with respect, and it caused them to question my honesty, end quote. See, here's the thing, Herb. I'm going to help you here. Here is the thing. When you lie, people will think you are a liar. When you lie and you call them, quote, misstatements, they'll know you're a liar. And when you lie about your knowledge of allegations involving domestic violence and repeatedly show no understanding of domestic violence, people will also know that you're lying about your core value of treating women with respect. So do us all a favor. Stop talking. Shut up. 99% of head coaches get fired for what happened on your watch. You only got suspended. You got over. You got to keep your job. You get to coach football. So just do that. Coach football and stop talking about everything else. You can talk about football because you're a football coach, but don't talk to anybody about being a leader. Don't talk about morality. Don't talk about caring for women. Don't talk about anything like that because you've got no standing in that area at all. You are a football coach. That's it. The only leading that you do is when guys run out of the tunnel after you. That's it. You're not a molder of men. You're not a role model. You forfeited all of that. Just talk about your running game. Talk about your offensive schemes, because clearly that is the only thing you care about. Take your money, coach your games, and never talk to us about anything else. Great coach, bad guy. Segment's a little bit shorter. Let's bang a phone call or two. Let's go to Boston. We're talking about the Patriots, so let's go to Boston. Scotty in Boston. It's good to have you, Scotty. How are you?
Good. How are you doing, Rome?
Good, man. Great.
Listen, I'm telling you, Josh Gordon, this is his last chance in football, and I think he's great. He reminds me of Randy Moss, and with him under Brady, Gronk, and Edelman, it's going to be super. I think he's going to be great, Rome. What do you think?
My man, it could be super. It could be the best thing ever. It could be the best thing ever. I just want to say this. Thanks, Scotty.
Good night now.